At this point in the pandemic, you may be eager to get vaccinated so that your life can return to some kind of normal. But most of us still have to wait because the elderly and people at high risk are at the front of the line. Still, there are stories about people trying to skip ahead or just coincidentally being in the right place at the right time when a shot becomes available. In Oregon, healthcare workers stuck in snarled traffic went car to car, giving out doses before they expired. So what are the moral questions we should all be thinking about right now? Art Kaplan is Director of Medical Ethics at the NYU School of Medicine. Art, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So from the point of view of a medical ethicist, how do you judge the way vaccine rollout and distribution has gone so far?
I would say somewhere between miserable, awful, and what my grandmother would have called fakakta, meaning all screwed up. It's been bad. Very, very bad.
Why?
Well, first of all, the Trump administration sort of promised that they'd have a surplus of vaccines, right? Remember, we were all saying there's going to be extra vaccine and we'll roll it out, and states began to plan for it. And then Biden showed up and there was no surplus. There was nothing. They said they distributed everything. That left us wondering, well, how much vaccine is there? A question to which we still don't have an answer. We don't know how much we've got, and that's terrible.
Yeah, and it does create some ethical questions here, doesn't it? Because so many people want this vaccine, and because of the supply issues, not everybody can get it. So let's walk through some of the tricky issues it has brought up. Number one, people of color have been disproportionately hit by this pandemic. Should race be taken into account when determining vaccine priority?
Yeah. Well, I think race absolutely correlates with risk of getting COVID and danger then of getting hospitalized or dying. But I think what correlates also is race, poverty, and exposure. So if you're a wealthy person who's a minority, say black, living out in the burbs, I'm not sure your race puts you at any increased risk. There's no evidence that somehow biologically any group or subgroup is more in danger. What makes you in danger is if you have a job as a bus driver or cleaning rooms, which tend to go to, in many places, poor African Americans. And if you have chronic health conditions because you didn't get good health care out of our health system, so there's more diabetes or hypertension or asthma, that puts you at risk. So I think while we tend to want to focus just on race, what we should be paying attention to is the horrible secret of American health care, that if you're poor and a minority and have a job that exposes you to the virus more than most people, that's where the risk is.
Related to that, prisoners, that has emerged as a pretty tricky issue, politically speaking, at least. Where should prisoners be in line?
First in line, and I know it's a tough political issue. Some states have said, forget it, we're not doing prisoners. Some states have even said, kind of dumb policy, we'll do the guards, but not the prisoners, which doesn't make any sense because you got other people coming in and out, visitors, administrators, people bringing food and so on. Look, prisons, we know, are incubators of COVID. It's hard to socially distance. It's hard to stay safe there. They're not hygienic to begin with. You always have a roommate in nearly every prison. Jails, you get a lot of people who are cramped together too. Plus, I might point out, in jails, a lot of the people aren't even convicted of anything. They're just there waiting on bail, waiting for a trial.
So prisoners are not getting vaccinated at any great rate, but politicians are. Many have gotten doses before everybody else, and the argument is that they need to project confidence in the vaccine so that others will trust taking it, and they have to protect the continuity of government. What do you think about that? Should able-bodied politicians be offering themselves up first?
Yeah. Do you have that kind of bleeping sound you can make when I start swearing about this? Do you have that available? This is the stupidest argument I've ever heard, meaning there isn't enough vaccine out there anyway. So what are we building confidence in if you can't get a vaccine? I mean, it's silly. It's too early to be doing that. Also, who trusts a politician? I don't see any change in vaccine confidence and vaccine refusals as a result of this burst of politicians pushing up to the head of the line. So I think it was unethical to do that right now. If you wanted to show support for vaccines, go to a nursing home and applaud while they vaccinate the residents.
You know, it's not just politicians either who are looking to skip the line. For example, where I live in Arizona, young people might go along in the car with an older relative at a drive-through vaccination center, because the site will sometimes give out shots to anyone who's inside, regardless of age or health. What do you think about something like that? If you're offered a shot, is it ethical to take one?
Well, I'm going to say this. If somebody offers you a shot, you should take it. I'm presuming they're offering it because they don't know what else to do. They're going to throw it away or it's going to go to waste. Wasting vaccine in the middle of a plague is not a good idea. So I think you can take it. You may say, is there anyone else around who's more in need of this than I am that we could give it to? That's a legitimate and ethical question. But assuming the person with the vaccine says, no, it's either you or it goes in the trash or I don't know what to do with it, then take it. So that would be my recommendation there.
But isn't there a difference between actively putting yourself in a position, say getting in a car with an older relative because maybe you'll get a shot, and just having it be a coincidence or luck that somebody offers you a shot because you happen to be in the pharmacy and there's a PA announcement that says, hey, we've got an extra shot here, come on down and get one?
Well, look, on a scale of morally bad, the worst thing to do is to bribe your way to a shot, which some people have tried to do, and I think in a few parts of the country have succeeded. Some people have flown to places, Florida, the Yukon, in the case of a Canadian billionaire couple who flew up and managed to get vaccinated along with a bunch of poor Inuit people in a rural Yukon site. Those are horrible things to do. You're cutting the line. You're using your resources to cheat. If you got to drive your grandma, somebody's got to take her, and you're in the car anyway, I don't know that you're, I mean, you may have a hope that maybe you'll get lucky and you'll get vaccinated too, but you still have to take grandma there. So I wouldn't put that quite on a par with finagling your way to get a shot through resources. And then there's the person who's just hanging around the nursing home, working there. They're not quite in the high-risk group, but they say, you know, come on, we got to do something with this excess vaccine. So there's a scale, if you will, of moral propriety. I think the people who bribe their way to vaccination, that's the worst thing you can do when you're pushing aside others who are needier.
Sure. The thing is, though, we are in such uncharted territory. No one's ever gone through something like this before, have we? I mean, and would we even have to consider the ethics if there was a more cohesive national distribution plan in place? I mean, really, is it our fault that the government hasn't figured this out?
Yeah, partly it's our fault. We did not demand of our politicians, whether it's the Trump administration as they got ready, or local officials, state officials, to tell us what is the plan, how will it be implemented, what are the logistics. Here's something that drives me crazy as a simple thing. A lot of states rely on you using the internet and making appointments, right, to get a vaccine. And their websites crash, and oftentimes they say there's no appointment, try us again in 24 hours, refresh, come back in 6 hours. The people who are trying to get in there are often 75 years old and older. They're not, many of them are not savvy to that. A state should be in charge of offering you appointment times, not putting the burden the other way. So I think areas like that show how we really failed to handle the needs of the vulnerable and the most at risk, in this case, the elderly, who I think are least likely to be able to manipulate the internet, and the poor elderly are probably least likely to have the internet. So, I think there's a lot of culpability here, not being prepared, not being ready. You asked, you know, do we ever do this? I've worked for many decades in transplant. Transplants are rationed every day. We don't have enough organs. We have to pick people to get them. We have a system. It works fairly well. People die who don't get a transplant, but they know what the rules are, and people follow the rules. The rules get enforced. It's not like we've never rationed anything in this country. But when it came to vaccines, we just seemed to, well, look, President Trump didn't talk about COVID or vaccines for the last 2 or 3 months of his administration, right? We weren't prepping. We were just talking about rigged elections.
Art Kaplan, director of the Medical Ethics Division at the NYU School of Medicine, helping us navigate the ethics of vaccine distribution. Art, thank you very much.
Thank you.